Well, good morning, folk. I'm prepared this message today a little bit out of sequence because we're working through the book of Hebrews, and I normally would be working through the book of Hebrews today, but unfortunately, a number of our folk in our church have tested positive for the COVID virus, and so we decided not to have church today. And so I'm just preparing a message of encouragement to those that are in the midst of this difficult situation, and I'm trusting that we'll be able to be a blessing to many others as well this morning. That's a word of prayer. Lord, as we just focus on a different passage, different to the book of Hebrews today, Lord, I just pray that you would speak through your word. In Jesus' name I ask that. Amen. I want to read out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. And the first eight verses, and then the last sort of 14 or so verses after that. Verse chapter 8, it says this: "And Saul was there giving approval to his death," that is the death of Stephen. "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. There was great joy in that city." And then a little bit further on in verse 26 to 40, it says this: "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he went out. On his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless somebody explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of scripture. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Please tell me, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or somebody else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. They both, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. He went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." I've entitled my message this morning, "When It Appears That Life Doesn't Make Sense." After the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, we celebrated that last weekend as we remembered the day of Pentecost, the early church grew very quickly. 3,000 people on the first day. Scriptures tell us after that people were added daily. There was some resistance to the early church, but the apostles dealt with those matters quickly and generally very well. When some internal problems arose, the early church appointed seven deacons to help those with the running of the church. One of those deacons started doing many of the things that the apostles are doing, and I believe the Jewish leaders were starting to get a little bit concerned that ordinary people were starting to do miracles as well. Then the persecution of the church under Saul, who later became Paul, really started. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, we have the story of the stoning of Stephen in the presence of Saul. And so after the initial success of the early church, it then felt like their whole world was against them. Soon many of them were leaving Jerusalem for fear of being killed. Friends, life is often like that. Life is not predictable. The early church thought everything was great and wonderful. One minute, the Lord was adding 3,000 to their congregation in one day. The next, the disciples were locked up by the Sanhedrin. Then we have the problem within the church. Now, all of a sudden, the first martyr, Stephen. Everything is upside down. Perhaps your life is a little bit like that. I know certainly for some in our church this week, their life has been kind of thrown a little bit upside down, suddenly tested positive with COVID. Who knows what that may present. We're praying that the Lord would touch and heal them like he has so many, many other thousands. But friends, life is never certain. Financial difficulties may come, relationship difficulties, and sadly for many during this pandemic, death. Death has turned life upside down. So this morning, friends, as we look at this passage, and it appears that life doesn't make sense, I want to just tell you this. First of all, when it appears that life doesn't make sense, friends, God has a plan. Well, what was God's plan for the early church? Well, first of all, his plan was to spread the gospel. In verse 4, it says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. You see, friends, beginning in Acts chapter 1, Jesus had explained what God's plan was. In verse 8, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But the Jewish church was kind of getting a little bit comfortable. Things were great. 3,000 were added. The church was growing. A little bit of resistance, but nothing too difficult. And God instituted his plan. You see, friends, from this point onwards, as the Jerusalem church is sent out into the world because of the persecution, the gospel begins to be spread to the ends of the earth. We don't always understand the ways of God. Most of us, I think of God as some vending machine. As long as we're paying our Christian dues, God will do nice things for us, give us good things. Friends, God's ways are not our ways. Sometimes he has to turn our world upside down to do what he wants to do. But not only is his plan to spread the gospel, his plan is also to bring the kingdom. Because in verse 6 it says, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Friends, the story of the start of Jesus' ministry is recorded in Luke chapter 4. It says in verse 16 through 21, Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." With that, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone on the synagogue was fastened on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Friend, the work of Jesus was to begin to answer that part of the Lord's Prayer where we say, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Friends, Jesus began that. What began with Jesus was passed on to his disciples, for his disciples began to do some of the things that Jesus was doing. And now even some of his followers are doing some of the things that Jesus did while he was on earth. Friends, God's plan was that there would be the gospel would be spread and the kingdom would come. So, first of all then, when it appears that life doesn't make sense, God, friends, has a plan. Secondly, when it appears that life doesn't make sense, God has a man or a woman. In this particular case, it was a man. Verse 4, it says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to the city of Samaria." Friends, what kind of man or woman does God use? First of all, he uses a chosen woman. The story of Philip's calling is found in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, there had been some trouble in the church and they needed some extra leaders. So the apostles say this to the church, "Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who will be known as being full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." The proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and the other names of the first 7 deacons. You see, friends, if Stephen was the first choice of the people, Philip was the second choice. Now, we must distinguish between the Philip who was the disciple and this Philip, although both of them have a very similar nature. This Philip, friends, had the gift of evangelism. In Acts chapter 21, it says this in verse 8, "Leaving the next day, they reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the 7. You see, from the time Philip, friends, was called in Acts chapter 6 to Acts chapter 21, he had moved from being a deacon to an evangelist. Friends, he was called. Philip the disciple was exactly the same. He brought people to Jesus. In John chapter 1, it tells us, "The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, 'Follow me.' Philip, like his brother, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethesda. Philip found Nathanael, his brother, and told him, 'We found the Messiah, the one Moses wrote about, the one Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" And then in John chapter 12, we have another story. It says, "Now there were some Greeks among them who went to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethesda and of Galilee, and requested, 'Sir, we would like to see Jesus.' And Philip takes them to see Jesus." Both these Philips have a heart of taking people to Jesus. Friend, Philip was a chosen man. When life doesn't make sense, God has a man or a woman, and that is a chosen woman. Friend, God has chosen you for a special work. Are you willing to be used by God in what that work may be? I don't know what it is, friends. Every one of us has to determine from God what it is that He wants us to do. But friends, we are all chosen for the work of God. But Philip wasn't only a chosen, he was also, Philip was an obedient, spirit-led man. Chapter 8 and verse 26 says, "Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and in verse 29 it says, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Friends, in being a Spirit-led person, Philip was sensitive to his Spirit. How do you know when the Spirit is leading? How did Philip know that something in him was telling him to go next to that chariot? Let me tell you this, give me the secret, friends. Whenever you choose or sense to do something that is biblical, you're being led by the Spirit. You see, the natural man would never choose to follow God's commands. So friends, whenever you sense in your spirit to do something that is biblical and good, friends, that's the Spirit who's leading you. But friends, it's one thing being sensitive to the Spirit's leading. The other thing is, friends, Philip obeyed without questioning. Being led is one thing, being obedient is quite something else. The Bible tells us to obey is better than sacrifice. Friends, our natural instinct is disobedience. Just think of Adam and Eve. Or for example, you tell a child not to do something, and what does the child do? Yes, he wants to do the very thing you've told him not to do. And we, friends, are no different. Friend, when life doesn't make sense, God doesn't only have a plan, He has a man. A man, friends, who is chosen. A man who is Spirit-led and an obedient man or woman. Friend, will you be that man or woman? I know life may feel upside down, but God may, friends, be planning a great thing for you to do through that experience you're going through that moment. I believe that, friends, God never takes us through an experience that He doesn't intend us to use in His ministry at some point in time. So if the first two points are when it appears that life doesn't make sense, God has a plan and God has a man. The third one is when it appears that life doesn't make sense, friends, God has a place. First of all, every place is a missionary place. It says in verse 4, those who were scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. Friends, Samaria was not a place that was friendly to Jewish people. You will recall the incident Jesus had with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. The woman was quite aggressive towards Jesus at first, because although her life was in an absolute mess, she still thought that she was better than Jesus, because according to her, her religious beliefs were superior to those of Jesus. Who were the Samaritans? Friends, the Samaritans were a mixed race people, made up of those who remained behind after the nation of Israel had been taken into captivity, who married with leaders from other nations who had been brought to Israel during the time of captivity. They thought because they remained behind, they were God's chosen, but actually it was those taken into captivity who were God's chosen. But friends, it doesn't matter the place. Wherever we go, people need the gospel. But not only is every place a missionary place, friends, every place is a place of divine encounter. In verse 27, it says, Philip started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in the charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. You see, friends, God had planted the seed of this encounter almost 1,000 years before it occurred. For during the time of Solomon, about 950 BC, and this is about 30 or 40 AD, so about 900 to almost 1,000 years, we have recorded in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 13, the story of the visit of Queen Sheba of Ethiopia. She had come to see what God was doing with Solomon. God had planted in the heart of Ethiopian people a hunger for God, and now almost 1,000 years later, there are still Ethiopians going to seek to worship God in Jerusalem. Friends, it's a divine encounter planted 1,000 years ago. Friend, God has an encounter for us. God wants us to be part of those encounter. Where has God put you to work? Perhaps it's in the workplace. Perhaps it's in a difficult place. Friends, perhaps it's at school. Doesn't matter where God has put you, friends. God has a place, and every place is a divine encounter place, friends. Many ask us, why are we living in Twanse? Or King Williamstown, it was known. Of all the places in the world, why would you choose to live in King Williamstown? It's not the most glamorous of towns in this place. We could have gone almost anywhere in this country, friends. On more than one occasion, I was asked would I be interested in accepting a call somewhere else. And all I tell people every time, friends, is God has not told us to move. Friends, where we are, because God has a divine encounter for somebody. So, friends, we've learned so far. When it appears that life doesn't make sense, God has a plan. God has a man or a woman. God has a place. And finally, when it appears that life doesn't make sense, friends, God gives some grace. Friends, what's the grace God gives? First of all, the grace God gives is that he points us to Jesus. When Philip runs next to the chariot, he hears the man reading out of the book of Isaiah, and he asks him the question, do you understand what you're reading? The man says, unless somebody explains it to me. So he invites Philip onto the top, and it says the eunuch was reading the passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter out of the book of Isaiah, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, please tell me, who is he talking about, himself or somebody else? And then this wonderful line, then Philip began with that very passage and told him the good news of Jesus. Friends, God's grace is found in Christ. Friends, we can do nothing more important than point Jesus, people to Jesus. Friends, Jesus is the answer to this world's problems and the next. I know I've told the story once before, but I love it so much because it involves my grandson. Recently, our grandchildren visited us, and on the Sunday they were with us, they went off to Sunday school. And after church, Emma, our daughter, asked our young five-year-old grandson, Paul, what lesson he had learnt. Now, Paul's got a little bit of a lisp, but he's got a lovely little phrase. He thought for a little while and he said to her, probably Jesus. And then he thought for a while, and God. Friends, I was so happy When he went to Jesus, went to Sunday school, he learned about Jesus and God. Friends, we can do nothing more important than point people to Jesus, probably Jesus and God. That's the most important thing. But the second grace, friends, is not only that people get pointed to Jesus, but people respond to Jesus. In verse 36, it says, as they traveled along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, tell me, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? They gave orders to stop the chariot. Both Philip and the eunuch went into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. Friends, the evidence of the grace of God in this man's life is obedience. The man heard the gospel message and obeyed by fulfilling the very first call of the gospel. Repent and be baptized. God's grace, friends. He responded to the call of Christ and gave his life to Jesus by being baptized as a sign of that. So friends, when life doesn't make sense, remember this. God has a plan. I don't know what his plan for your life is. Maybe very different to what your plan for your life is, but God's friend has a plan, and his plan is always good. God is a man or a woman, and you may be that man or woman for a specific job that God has. God has a place, friends. I don't know where God has put you at the moment, but friends, God wants you. He wants you to grow in him, because God is the one who gives grace. Friends, grace simply means God's riches at Christ's expense. Friend, receive the grace of God in whatever you may be facing, and to God be all the glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that whatever we're facing, you have a plan, you have a man, you have a place, you have grace. Remind us of that for your glory. Amen. Lord, bless you through this day. Pray for those that need a touch from the Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray that. Amen.